All right, we're going to be looking at where, of course, this is Old Testament characters, and Mike is off in New Boston. We certainly want to keep him in our prayers as he is out there preaching the gospel meeting. And we are covering certain characters out of the Old Testament. And so most of these have been character studies. People do character studies a little bit different. But we're going to focus our attention upon Moses tonight. And so I have a couple of things that I want to emphasize about the life of Moses that I believe demonstrates his primary character. And we'll look at that here in just a minute. But what I would like to do as we start, I want you to be thinking about some concepts in regards to Moses. What is it, maybe the first 5 minutes here, that we know about Moses as far as his characteristics are concerned? By the way, I did mention Brother Bonner being gone. Raphael and Brian and Dennis are also gone down to Mexico, and we certainly want to remember them and their travels as they are down there. Well, they're preaching and teaching down there. So I think Raphael's doing some translating.
Oh, Dennis
didn't go?
It was tax season.
I thought he was heading down there. Okay. Well, we'll pray for him anyway. I mean, he needs it. So, all right. We're looking into the life of Moses tonight. And what I've asked you prior to the prayer is to focus your mind on some primary characteristics of the man Moses. Primary characteristics. Right here. Yes, ma'am.
Faith and obedience.
Faith and obedience. I think that would definitely describe the characteristics of Moses. Who else had?
Doesn't the Bible say he was a meek man?
The Bible says not only was he a meek man, but he was the meekest man on the face of the earth during his particular time frame. Back to the Hebrew or the faith, Hebrews chapter 11 certainly identifies him as a man of faith, right? By faith, Abraham. And Numbers chapter 12, verse number, 3 or 4, says that Moses was a meek man, the meekest that was upon the face of the earth. So definitely that's one of the... And in fact, that characteristic coupled with maybe a different word or two is going to be the thought process for tonight. What else you got? Moses.
Industrious.
Industrious? You know, I like that word. There is no doubt that Moses was a hard-working man in several different capacities. Not only in the first 40 years of him being raised in the household of Pharaoh, but certainly as he goes out to the wilderness and is in... Midian area, and he's taking care of hard work, and there is no doubt when you look at the stubborn nature of the children of God coming, even the 10 plagues, the children of Israel, Moses had worked a miracle. And they're almost so what? You know, you're going to make our life harder after a little difficulty, and we'd rather be comfortable slaves than uncomfortable wanderers in the wilderness. And so he certainly had a hard job and did a great deal of industrious work in regards to that.
To a certain extent, you could say that God gave stubborn Jews just about one man that was almost as stubborn as they were.
You know, it's interesting because there are times in which God specifies that kind of mentality, like Ezekiel. He says, I'm going to give you a forehead that is as hard as stone because that's what my people are like. And Isaiah and Jeremiah, even some, there are some references there. Jeremiah chapter 1, I think it is in verses 18 and 19, Jeremiah is described as a as a brazen wall. In other words, an iron pillar. He's going to have to be hard against the people of God. Moses was certainly, don't be fooled by the word meek. We'll look at that in just a minute. Don't be fooled by that word. That does not suggest in any sense any kind of weakness on Moses at all. In fact, that is a very strong, powerful word. And I think oftentimes is either misused or misunderstood in relationship to the person who possesses it. What else you got?
Foolish.
Okay, there were a couple of times in Moses' life where he did some foolish items. I would probably classify that as a subcategory rather than a main characteristic, but certainly we find that, I've got that in my notes to deal with, that Moses, because he was angry and frustrated at the people of God, did not fulfill God's commandment. He spoke foolishly to the people and smote the rock instead of speaking to it as God had commanded. And so because of that, he was not able to enter into the promised land. He was able to view it, but not able to enter into the promised land. And so we do see foolish behavior in relationship to that. Now, you may have in mind his earlier escapade when he killed the Egyptian, may have had that in mind as well. All right, well, let's look at some verses in relationship to what we've talked about. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number, not 13, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 3. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 3. Now, the context is really dealing with the fact that Jesus Christ is greater than Moses. Because Moses is referred to as a servant in the house, yet Jesus is referred to as a son over the house. The difference between being in and over, and the difference between being a servant and a son. But in verse number 5, you will find this statement. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house. Miss Joyce mentioned that is a primary characteristic of Moses. He was faithful in all his house as a servant. And it is this word servant that I would like for us to spend a little bit of time on tonight in regards to one of the greatest characteristics of the life of Moses. There are many times in Scripture that he is referenced as a servant. James mentioned the ideal of meekness, and again, I referenced for your consideration there, Numbers chapter 12, verse number 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And this interests me because it is in the midst of Miriam and Aaron's rebellion against Moses' choice for a wife, and they seek to utilize that to establish themselves as equals with Moses, and God refuses to have any of that at all. There was no man, and this interests me, there was no man, no prophet, that God was so close to as to be close to Moses. He spoke to Moses face to face. And so, Numbers chapter 12 and verse number 3. Look with me at Numbers chapter 12 and verse number 7. And then there are a couple other verses I want us to note here. Notice it says, my servant. Remember Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 5? Here he says, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. And so the writer of the book of Hebrews then takes directly from this text to demonstrate the faithfulness of Moses. Look with me at Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 31. Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 31. And notice there that the Bible says, and Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord, and they believed, and his servant Moses. Deuteronomy 34 and verse number 5, as you come down to the very end of Moses' life. This is in Numbers and Exodus. You're talking about the beginning of his work. But here in chapter 34 and verse number 5, for example, it says, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord." But notice that he is again referenced as servant. Moses, the servant of the Lord. Now drop down to the book of Joshua. Remember, can't remember whether or not it's Sunday, I think it was Sunday night, we talked about Acts and Luke and the crossover verses there and how they tie in. We talked about the tie-in between Genesis and Exodus as Moses is continuing the chronological order of events in the scheme of redemption. Well, here you have a crossover between the Pentateuch and the historical writings. You have Moses' death and Joshua's leadership as a part of that crossover. And so in Deuteronomy 34 and verse number 5, Moses, the servant of the Lord, died. Well, look at Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord," there again that reference to the servant of the Lord, "it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying," here's what God says to him, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I will give to them, even to the children of Israel." Over and over again, you find Moses being referenced as a servant and as a servant of the Lord. And in particular, if you tie all of these verses in together, not only was he a servant, but he was a faithful servant. The key disposition then that he possessed, which allowed him to be that faithful servant, was his meekness. Now, when we talk about meekness, what exactly are we talking about? Meekness. Yes, sir.
Arthur says, one having the power of being able to keep it under control, like riding on a horse.
You know, that's I think that's one of the best illustrations of what meekness is. If you take a stallion right out of the range and you want to ride that stallion, that's not going to be an easy task for anybody. But once he is, as we would say, broken, okay, not his spirit broken, but somebody has trained him to be able to control the energy and the strength of that horse. You can take a small child, and you've seen it. If you've ever visited a rodeo, you can see a huge horse and a little bitty girl on that horse. And she is controlling with the reins. She is controlling wherever that horse goes. Stop and go, left and right. Anything that she desires that horse to do, she does with that horse. Now, do you really think that she has more power than that horse does? No. That horse is a meek horse. It is giving the control to someone else. And that's the ideal of meekness. There's a sense of gentleness, of being able to be controlled. You know, there are some people that, you know, they believe that they are in control of their destiny and they are in control. I pulled myself up by my bootstraps No, I beg to differ. You don't do anything without the Lord's help and the Lord's aid and the Lord's assistance. And the meek man is the one who understands that. The meek man is the one who is the faithful servant of the Lord. He can give control to somebody else. He can work for somebody else, you see. He can serve under an eldership. He can he can serve under a boss. He can serve in the military without a lot of stripes or a lot of antagonism, you see, because he's a meek person. You know one of the people I think of? How many of you remember Bonanza? Anybody? Okay, a few of you do not remember Bonanza. That is sad. That is really sad. Because you need to know Hoss Cartwright. If you don't know Bonanza, you at least need to know Hoss Cartwright. Because Hoss Cartwright is the first person that comes to my mind when I think of meek. Here was a brute of a man. I mean, he was one of the big boys, and yet as gentle as could be, until you got him riled up, and then he could, he could hurt somebody. So he was always very meek and mild in his approach to things. Now, little Joe, he'd go off the handle. You can have a little Joe go off the handle, okay? But you can't have a hoss do that, okay? Hoss is what I think of when I think of meekness but it's a gentle spirit, a controllable person in regards to, now in this case, in Moses' case, God is the one with the reins. God is the one who is controlling the situation. So, what we will see with regards to his service, him being a servant, is we will see his meekness, his gentle disposition. By the way, that gets out of control maybe a couple of times, right? The killing of the Egyptian and the smiting of the rock, right? He gets frustrated, he gets out of control, and he demonstrates that he's not. In that situation, he's not being meek and gentle. And I suppose that even the best of men can become so frustrated with the way things are going that they can lose what we refer to as losing our temper, right? Now, if that's a daily occurrence, there's something wrong, okay? With Moses, it was not a daily occurrence. In fact, let's calculate this up. 120 years when he died, right? Times 365. Anybody care to calculate that up real quick? 39,000? Wow, man, I had no idea. I'll take your word for it. But now think about this. There are only two occasions out of 39,000 days that Moses lost his temper. Only twice that are recorded in Scripture. I would say then that when the Bible says that he was a faithful servant in his house, that the Bible is not exaggerating one whit in regards to this. Now, let me suggest to you that there are three things that demonstrate Moses' disposition and his service. And these are three things that I think we can learn a great deal from even today. Number one, if we're going to be a servant, a meek servant, faithful in everything, then we must learn to listen. Listening is an important aspect of being meek. See, there are some people, you're just not going to be able to get past the talking to the hand bit, you see. I'm not listening. I'm closing my ears. I'm not going to, that kind of mentality. That's not a meek disposition. It's not a faithful servant of God. The second aspect is that not only must we listen, but we must follow. You see, this is that horse being led by that little girl. You see, that horse is choosing to follow. Now, there's a lot that goes into that of the training of the horse. That's just an illustration. We're talking about the training of individuals with a mind to be able to think and to reason. And we are then submitting ourselves to God's control when we're listening and following God's instructions. And the third one is that of teaching. That is, we do what God has asked us to do. And we'll see that in the life of Moses. Moses was not just one who followed God, but he was one who taught God's instructions to other people. And in fact, one of the greatest in our bulletin this week, there's an article in there about peer pressure. And this is the fourth of that installment. And the idea is that mentoring, what we refer to as mentoring, is a sense of positive peer pressure. And that's what Moses did for Joshua. Now, there are other great examples of that, but that's one of the things that Moses did for Joshua. And he taught Joshua how to be the next leader for God. He taught Joshua how to go into the promised land. So let's look at these three items then. As we look at Moses' life, let's look at the idea of listening. Let me give you some items that I found quite interesting as I was doing some research. At least 64 times in the book of Exodus, there is a reference to the Lord speaking to Moses. Let me just go over maybe a couple of these with you. Let's go to Exodus chapter 4 and verse number 4. Exodus chapter 4. And verse number 4, "And the Lord said unto Moses," now this is when he said, "What is that in thine hand?" But he's speaking to Moses. And what you'll find in the context in every one of these, now in this first one, Moses is making a few excuses. So he's not listening and following, but God's anger, by the time you get to the midpoint of chapter 4 there, changes Moses' entire makeup. And he begins to listen to that. Verse number 14, chapter 4 and verse number 14, it says, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said," that is, God said. So God is speaking to Moses in his anger. Verse number 19, "And the Lord said unto Moses." Verse number 21 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses." Over and over, 64 times in the book of Exodus, God is, and this is a major theme throughout Moses' life, that God is speaking to him and he is listening to what he has to say. In the book of Leviticus, for example, there are 36 references to the Lord speaking to Moses. And in fact, 20 of the 27 chapters begin with that statement. So notice Leviticus, it begins this way. "And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him." Chapter 4 and verse number 1. Notice it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying." Chapter 6 and verse number 1. Just kind of follow along there with me. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying." Then just for time's sake, let's go to chapter 21 and we'll see. Chapter 20, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying." Chapter 21, "The Lord said unto Moses, speak unto the children of Israel." Chapter 22, "The Lord spake unto Moses." So 36 times he is using this phrase, and there is this opening statement. It does interest me that the person who divided the book of Leviticus up into chapters and verses divided it almost every chapter with the beginning of this particular phrase, "that the Lord spake unto Moses." The book of Numbers. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 1 and verse number 1. The book of Numbers contains at least 65 references to the Lord speaking to Moses. Numbers chapter 1, verse number 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai." In fact, 17 of the 36 chapters begins with that particular phrase. You start to get the point as you read throughout the Pentateuch, and especially because Moses comes in after the book of Genesis, right? You get Exodus and Numbers and Leviticus and Deuteronomy. They primarily focus upon this great character of Moses. And it's all about God's instruction to Moses and Moses as a willing listener. In fact, those four books, there are 168 references to God, at least I would say, God speaking to Moses. And you find in the majority of those cases, you find Moses is listening to that. And so you'll find him following that instruction. You will find him teaching that instruction that he got from the Lord. It's interesting how many times, and this might be a good read for you sometime, read through Exodus through Deuteronomy and just underline or highlight the phrase to Moses. It says of Moses that he did as the Lord commanded Moses. I think you will find that that is a tremendous statement in regards to that. And so Moses was a listener in regards to God's commandments. Now, the only way for us to initiate any kind of faith, any kind of faithful obedience to God, is that we must be a good listener. The first passage that always comes to my mind when I think about this is Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I need to be a willing listener of the Word of God. In fact, the prior verse to that verse, 10:16, says, is actually a quote from Isaiah 53 and verse number 1, where it says, "And they did not believe our report." By the way, chapter 52, anybody remember Isaiah 52 and what it's about? That's the chapter on the suffering servant. That's where he was oppressed for us. That's where he was beaten. And God saw that and was satisfied with him being led as a lamb to the slaughter. That's the passage that the Ethiopian eunuch is reading from as he's traveling back to Ethiopia from Jerusalem after worshiping God. And Philip joins himself to the chariot. And he says, "Who is this man talking about? Himself or somebody else?" And Philip begins at that passage and speaks to him about Jesus. After speaking to him about Jesus, you remember what the Ethiopian eunuch's response was? "Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" You see, all of that right out of Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 1. They have not believed our report. And that's what Romans chapter 16 and verse number 17. And it's referencing the gospel, you see. When he's talking about our belief coming from the Word of God, he's talking about the gospel. And so we need to be worthy listeners as well. Well, let's look at this concept of following the life of Moses, the ideal of him following the commandments of the Lord. Not just listening. You know, there are a lot of people that listen. They're very meek, they're very mild, they're very humble in that particular sense. They will hear you out all day long. But there are some people, have you ever had this thought, that you're talking to some people about the gospel? You're talking to them about becoming a member of the church, and you think it may be leaking out the other side? That it's going in one ear and out the other? How many of you have ever had that thought with regards to children? Okay, that's the ideal here, is the instruction level is not just "I'm willing to listen." Now, I had two boys. I think y'all met, I don't know if you, I guess y'all have met Joshua, but probably more familiar with Caleb. Caleb was my stubborn child. He was the one that had to always butt heads with everything in order to learn anything. Now, my other child was exactly the opposite. My other boy, excuse me, Joshua. He was, there were times when I had to, "Anybody home?" You know, he was that kind of, you didn't know what he was thinking. And to me, that was dangerous, okay? At least with Caleb, I always knew what he was thinking. I may not want to know what he's thinking sometimes, but I always knew what he was thinking. With Joshua, I didn't know, and I wanted to know sometimes, you see? And so there are some people that listen, but they don't listen well, right? They listen, but they don't absorb what's actually being said. They listen, but they don't follow 40 times throughout Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and then even into the book of Joshua, there is a particular phrase that I referenced earlier, and that is the phrase, as the Lord commanded Moses. And I want us to look at just a few of those to demonstrate what we're talking about here, because many of these indicate that Moses was doing what God said. So, in Exodus chapter 5, you have a commandment given to Moses and Aaron, and they're to go down to Egypt, go back to Egypt, and to deliver a message to Pharaoh. And they're to go into Pharaoh. Now, they've already been, chapter 5 and verse number 1 has already started the initial conversation. But in chapter 7, they're to go back to Pharaoh and deliver a message to God. Now, notice with me in chapter 7, and we'll pick up in verse number 1. The Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and to Aaron thy brother, he shall be thy prophet. And thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of this land. Now, there's some other instruction there, but I want you to see what happens in verse number 7, verses 6 and 7. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And again, we'll find this phrase several times throughout these letters, that Moses did as God commanded. In other words, he wasn't just a passive hearer. This is not mental assent with regards to faith. You see, this is not just, well, I believe it, but it's not going to change me. It's not going to alter the direction. I'm going to stay where I am and do what I want to do. No, this is an entire change of lifestyle. And this is what I love about Moses, is that you can see the change in his life in regards to that. Look down at verse number 10. In this same chapter. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded them. Look at verse number 20. There it says, and Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. Again, over and over you'll find that particular phrase. So Moses and Aaron are commanded to go in unto Pharaoh, and every time we find them listening and complying with the instruction of God so that they are following. Remember, he is faithful in all his house as a servant. He did exactly what his master and his Lord told him to do. He did it when he was told. He did it how he was told. And he did it for the reason why he was told. Now Moses fulfills the commands of numbering the mighty men, or the men for war, in the book of Numbers. Notice Numbers chapter 1 again with me. And again, we don't have time to look at every single one of these, but I want to kind of give you an idea of the character of Moses in this regards. Verse number 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year as they were come out of the land of Egypt. Take ye the sum, and this is what God tells him, take ye the sum of the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families and by their houses and their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their poll, from 20 years old and upward, that are able to go forth to war in Israel. Thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. Now I want you to notice that God has given him some very specific instruction here. Look down at chapter 2 and verse number 33. Chapter 2 and verse number 33. And we'll find the number, by the way, the number of that is in chapter 1 and verse number 46, 603,550 is the total number of war. But chapter 2 and verse number 33, notice what it says. But the Levites were not numbered according to the children of Israel. So you're numbering all of them, but leave Levi out. Now, we know this is what the Lord said because of the next statement, as the Lord commanded Moses. And so everything that Moses was commanded, he followed through on. Chapter 1, let's go back to chapter 1, verse number 19. Now, it says, "And the Lord commanded Moses, so he numbered them in the wilderness." You get the impression then that Moses was a yes man in the right way. That whatever God said, he said yes to. Whatever God wanted him to do, it was yes. I am a faithful servant of yours. You know, and that's not hard for our generation. And I don't care how old you are. I'm not just talking about the millennials. I'm talking about all of us in here. It's not easy for us. We are raised in generations of that has been told that service and servanthood is of low esteem. And yet the Bible has always said that it is the greatest thing that a human being can obtain to. See, we think giving commandments is the greatest thing. Being the boss is the greatest thing. But the Bible says that the greatest among us are those that shall serve us. And Jesus certainly demonstrated that in Mark chapter 10 and verse number 45. And he calls upon us to have that same disposition. By the way, with the Kohathites and the Gershonites and all of those, Moses was to number them separately and put them in their place. And the Bible says he did exactly as God told him to do. Now this goes back to what James is talking about earlier. There were a couple times in which Moses did not comply with what God said. But I want to turn to the final one here, and that is that not only did Moses listen and follow, but he also taught. Now think about this. God instructed Moses, "I want you to go and teach Pharaoh." So what did Moses do? He went and taught Pharaoh. Now the instruction was similar to the instruction of Jonah. There were just 8 words in Jonah's message. And there's very few words in Moses' instruction. "Let my people go." That was the crux of the instruction that he gave. And so God gave it to Moses and said, "I want you to teach this to Pharaoh." And he does. He is a teacher. We talked about Joshua and Moses and the instruction that he gave. Turn with me to, I want to skip down on my notes here, to Exodus, Numbers, Exodus, where is it at? I might have to, I thought it was chapter 24, but it's not. I did not write it in my notes very well, but, by the way, when God instructed Moses to teach Joshua how to be a leader, what interests me is that God told Moses, "I want you to do it publicly. You bring him before Eleazar the high priest, and you bring him before all of the people. We're going to anoint him. I want you to give him your authority, but I want you to instruct him in this public setting. He's going to be the public leader. The face and the direction, the leader of Israel. And so I want him instructed publicly in regards to that." And I would suggest to you that there's no difference in regards to you and I. Every single one of us are designed to be teachers. Not just living and teaching in the sense that my life teaches something, but in the sense of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15, that I am to be ready. That's an instruction that is given to every single member of the body of Christ. Now, there are some, such as elders, 1 Timothy chapter 3, and evangelists, 2 Timothy chapter 2, that there's a different phrase that is utilized. They must be apt to teach. And that phraseology suggests that they must be public teachers. They must know how, for example, the elders must know how to convict the gainsayer. And sometimes that takes a public rebuke of false teaching and the gainsayer. And so they must have an ability in that area. It's not just a general instruction now. It's to be able to lead and guide in the direction of the Lord's church. Then you have to watch out for people's souls by being able to stand up and to say that is false doctrine and that will not be tolerated in this pulpit or in this teaching in this congregation. You have to be willing to do that. And that is our responsibility as elders and evangelists to be apt to teach. But every one of us must be ready to give an answer to those that would ask us. And so that's what you see with Moses. I think the greatest characteristic of Moses' life is the fact that he was a meek man. And that meek disposition was perfectly suitable to God's direction and guidance. And that's why Moses, it is said, even in the New Testament, was faithful in all of his house. So we have a characteristic of faithful, we have the characteristic of meekness, and we have the characteristic being demonstrated in he listened, he followed, and he instructed others in the way that they ought to go. And so as a character study of Moses' life, I realize this is not a Moses from birth to death, but as a character study, when I look at Moses overall, that's exactly what I see. Any other thoughts in regards to the life of Moses?
40 years, right after he was in the wilderness.
You know, I started to teach tonight out of Acts chapter 7. Stephen's sermon on the scheme of redemption there, when he really gets into it, the majority of that is all about Moses. And it's all about how Moses was a precursor to Christ. And he breaks it up, Moses' life, in that 40-40-40. 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in wandering. 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in Midian, and then 40 years in the wilderness wandering. And then... Say that again. Well, if you take the whole, it would have been 40. It's 38 and a half years if you take it from the time of Sinai. And when they go up from Sinai and they go up to Kadesh Barnea, they'd already been in the wilderness a year and a half. And then if you add the 38 and a half more years to that, then there's a 40 years in the wilderness. So, yes. Stephen references that as 40 years of wandering. So 38 years after the Kadesh Barnea incident, yes.
And they had to do something because they ate manna and all that stuff, put up with the people, how many pounds there were. And you've seen the wagon train even on TV today, no matter how in the world, and you do all that.
You know, if the estimates, and this is, they're just rough estimates, but the estimates are, if you have 603,550 fighting men from 20 years old upward that are able to go to war, then the ideal is that you have about 2 to 3 million, if not more, individuals that are associated with that. So you're moving 3 million people, let's just use that, 2.5 million people. You're moving from Egypt to Sinai, from Sinai up to Kadesh Barnea, and then from Kadesh Barnea, you're doing a circle here in the wilderness for 38 years, and then you're going up to the eastern side of the Jordan River in that valley area there. And listen, without God's help, Moses doesn't do that. And I think that that is the greatest asset to Moses. We're going to be, I don't know if the next lesson is about Joshua. Are we? I think we're done. There's Velton. He's already back. So we're already done. But think about this. Was Joshua really that great of a commander? Or was he just a great follower of God? He didn't think of the Jericho incident. God did. He just followed God's instruction. I think he was a great faithful man. And God was the great general. But that's a different thing. We'll stop there.